welcome you all in the name of our Lord Jesus. It's a blessed day to come together, to be in his house with his word before us. And before we open his word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, our hearts rejoice that we could come together with the purity and the power of thy word before us. Lord, hearts full of anticipation for the blessings that can come only from thee. So open the windows of heaven and pour down thy blessings upon thy creation. As we have assembled here, O Lord, in the quietness of this morning, the blessings of a day that is set aside to worship thee and to honor and to magnify thy great name. So, Lord, calm our hearts and open our minds. They would feel thy presence and that we would know, O Lord, that thou art with us. Abide thou with us, bless us, one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, the passage of Scripture that I've chosen this morning to read together with God's help is found in the Epistle of James, chapter number 3. The Epistle of James, chapter number 3. Любезні жели, да се наѓе са Божјом помоћ да се прочита из посланица Јаковљева, трећа глава. Just like other portions of Scripture that really can stand alone, like when we read of the chapter on faith in Hebrews, there's chapters on gifts and prophecy. They're complete. And so this chapter also stands alone. So let's really concentrate as we read what the Spirit is speaking here through the Apostle James. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." There opens up that we read with a call, "My brethren, be not many masters," or the word masters is teacher, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So does that mean that we should not teach, that we should not go and teach anyone anything because we're going to receive a greater condemnation. What this means is, dear ones, as we will speak, we need to be assured, and that is only through His word, that what we speak is truth. All of us. We just had the prayer speaking of children who are still not in their teenage years, who are going to be influenced greatly by the things that they are taught, and the teachings aren't always necessarily the word that is spoken, but also the actions of our lives, of those who profess something and actually live something completely different. All of us in this room here have gone through childhood. We've been influenced, each one of us, by our parents, our siblings, our aunts and uncles, our church. All that are around us are an influence of some kind unto us. And so we need to be careful then, because he says what you say, you will give an answer for. And so we have to be sure that the condemnation comes to a hypocrite. The condemnation comes to a false teacher. To proclaim anything from the Word of God is that, which does not actually come from the Word, is a condemnation. And we can read in the Scriptures that the greatest condemnations came to the false teachers. And so you, brothers and sisters, have no love if you tolerate untruths that would come from the pulpit. You can't say, well, I'll love and I'll tolerate that brother, or I love him and I'll tolerate. That's not love in any way. And so truth, everything must be grounded in the Word of God. And we see here, as he goes on, he says, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, now he's going to go in to speak about offenses and how in this flesh, because we are in the flesh and yet we are spiritual, having been born again. But the old nature is still with us. We see it here amongst us. That's the old nature, this flesh. But our hearts have been purified. We actually, in the hymn also saying and prayed unto God that our hearts would have a glow most pure. A glow. So it's coming from within our hearts, a glow that is pure. How can our hearts give off a glow that is pure? It has to be born again. It has to be born again. The old man, the old nature must die. And we say, well, we still see it. Yes, it is with us. But it is no longer ruled. It no longer rules us. It no longer rules our soul. And that's who we are. What rules us is the new nature. Christ himself living in us. And so a man that does not offend in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And so he goes on, he says, look at the example he tells of what a horse, a great beast, who none of us can do battle with, a horse. He says, you put a small little bit into his mouth and you control him. He goes whichever way you want him to go. Just a small little bit. You turn around the whole body that is so powerful. And talks about ships, so he gives examples of navigation here through the ships. He gives the example through beasts. And he says the ships, they're monster, they're huge. And they're driven. They're going to be driven wherever the wind takes them. Yet, they're turned with a very small helm, little rudder, is going to turn and direct that ship to go wherever the navigator, the captain, desires for it to go. Wherever the governor listeth. So the tongue. It's a little member. And then we got to keep in mind, the tongue does not live alone. It cannot operate of its own self. It is part of our body. And so our tongue, which is a little member, it boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. So he describes He describes the tongue as the fires of hell. So, brothers and sisters and my dear friends, the tongue which we all employ, we are being instructed, warned, that it is the very fire of hell itself. The tongue is a fire, a world. That means a world of iniquity is like the entire unrighteousness, all iniquity centers from the tongue itself. All of iniquity is from the tongue itself. And he says the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. How can the tongue defile everything in me? Because it is directed by the heart. How many times, now, you know, we can control the tongue. Now, control a tongue can be controlled two different ways. It can be controlled by our will, and it can be controlled by a heart that's glow is pure. Most pure, it says in this hymn. So if our tongue is controlled by a will, see, because when we are in front of our, let's say, employers or governments or people of authority, we tend to watch what our tongue will say. We're going to be careful to say what we say, because if we say what is on our mind, we might get fired, or we might get something's going to happen. So we, through our will, hold back the tongue from it saying exactly what we really want to say. And so there's that control of the tongue. James is not speaking about that control. He's speaking of a control of the tongue that comes from a heart that is glowing with purity. And a heart, that means a heart that has been born again, a heart that is renewed. It's a world of iniquity. It defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And for every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things in the sea is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. You know, we see killer whales that are just incredible in power. And a man tames a killer whale. He tames a tiger, a lion, whose very nature is to kill. And he tames those. How does he do that? It says, but a tongue, no man can tame it. No man can tame it. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. This is the nature of the tongue that we employ all day long. And so the warning is for each of us, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, is to consider the words that so easily flow from our tongues, but more than that, the thoughts that so easily are formed in our minds. Because how many times have we blurted something out, and we how could I have done that? And you try to pick it up, and you can't pick it up. You can't pick it up. It sets a fire. A small little fire in the forest, as we see. This year, we've seen hundreds of thousands of acres burning. It started with a small, small little fire. That's what the tongue does. It brings nations to war. It does. It's an unruly evil. Is what is described here, full of deadly poison. Do we consider that is something that is with us all the time? And so the control of that tongue only comes through the control that the Holy Spirit of God will have, is the only way that we can control it. Because it's inevitable that man is going to slip up and blurt something out. And the thing is, oftentimes man isn't even careful, because he doesn't care. He doesn't care. And he's going to tell you what he thinks. And he's going to belittle you. Because it's proudful. That's the nature of man, pride. Every argument is going to come from pride. Argument, I said. Now, there's ways to correct, there's ways to instruct, but arguments come from pride. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you. And then he goes on and says, therewith, bless we God. So we bless God with the tongue. The hymns that we sing, dear ones, in perfect four-part harmony, blended together, beautiful to listen to. You know, I've heard funeral directors have told me when we go to a funeral and we sing without just four-part harmony, he goes, this is beautiful. He goes, I've never heard this. Four-part harmony sounds so beautiful. He goes, you don't hear that anymore. So this is how we praise God with our tongues. We praise him. And he says here, but yet, with that same tongue that you're employing to praise your God, you're going to curse man. You're going to enter into arguments with. You're going to mock somebody. You're going to belittle them. You're going to appear better than them in the way that you say things about him. So freely. You know, we have many things in our lives, dear ones, that we are very, very careful. Very careful what we do. Because, and I'm afraid of these things, dear ones, because it shows that we follow a religion. If I am so afraid to steal, God forbid that I would steal something from someone. Stealing? No. And there's probably everyone in here would never think of actually stealing something. That doesn't belong to us. Because we know it's sin. And so we can do that. We can do that. I'm following a pattern because I'm good now. I didn't steal anything. And we can say that about other things. I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to cuss. I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But yet, is the tongue used for gossip? A means through which I'm going to put down another brother or another sister. I'm going to belittle him. I'm going to describe him as no good to you. But I'll never go to him to tell him that. It's easier to talk in circles and bring about laughter and jesting and things like that. But I'm so careful that I will not commit fornication. No. No way. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to kill somebody. I'm going to be very careful about those things. But gossip, it's just no big deal. It's the truth. You know, I'm saying the truth. But our goal is not about truth. Our goal is destroy. It's an unruly evil. It's deadly poison. And we don't guard that? So that, you know what we do then? We become religious. Religious men are biggest hypocrites you can find. Godly men are not. Jesus says, follow me. I am the way. I am the truth. And so James is speaking here of the great principles that have been laid out in the Sermon on the Mount. The only way to this wisdom, he tells us later, is through the word, the gospel. That's how we will have this wisdom and ability through this new birth that comes about through the precious word of God, that we can change our nature, change our heart to glow so pure. Because it is a heart that Jesus cleanses with his blood. He brings about the mercy. It says here, wisdom, he said that it's from above, it's pure. It's pure. Who is pure? You know, this is James' brother, Jesus, who he saw in his childhood. He saw him grow up. He sat at the table with him. He watched him work. He saw purity. He never saw an evil word. He never saw him bringing out poison from his lips and things that would destroy and bring down and belittle. All he saw was purity. And he says, the wisdom that comes from above is pure. He learned that from his own brother and from his Savior. And he's telling us the same thing. This is where you're going to receive this wisdom. It's from above. You're not going to find it in the institutions of this world. They don't teach us that. He said it's full of mercy. Mercy? There's a story that is told of Napoleon who it says there's someone who had done something, and Napoleon sentences him to death, and his mom comes and she pleads to him, please don't kill him. And he said, this is his second offense. He deserves justice. She goes, I'm not asking for justice. I'm asking for mercy. Mercy is something, she goes, I know what he deserves, but I'm asking you for mercy. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, each of us deserve justice. No one here is deserving of mercy. No one here is better than, I'm not better if I belittle you. We're not better than one another. We all deserve the justice of a pure and holy God. But he hears the cry. He heard the blood of Abel as it cried for justice, but he comes down to a people that is completely lost without hope, and he gives mercy. Dear ones, undeserving. And so to have this mercy is not compassion. Let's not misconstrue those things. Compassion, an unregenerate man can have compassion. A mafia boss will have compassion on his son and daughter as he murders yours. Compassion is not what this is speaking of. Yes, a regenerate heart has compassion, but it has mercy. This is the wisdom that comes from above. Gentle, easy to be entreated. Full of mercy, good fruits. Good fruits. Without partiality. Dear ones, partiality, James, I think it is, it speaks in the other chapters, he speaks of partiality. He says, when you are partial, you commit sin. Now, let's talk about that. If you are partial, you commit sin. What separates man from God? Sin. So we would totally dismiss that as not a okay, I'm partial. That's you know, of course I recognize I have more mercy towards someone than someone else. Napoleon wouldn't have set his son to die on a second offense, but he did someone else's. And so when we, dear ones, are partial, we don't have the wisdom that came from above. That came from the earth. Hypocrisy. Everyone hates a hypocrite. We know that. That's a strong word I just used, hate. But no one wants to be around a hypocrite as he pretends and portrays and just is all and will diminish others and so on. And you know that his heart is rotten. That wisdom isn't from below or from above. Hypocrisy doesn't come from God. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, not necessarily his speech, but out of his lifestyle. Let him show out of his lifestyle, his works, with meekness of wisdom. The wisdom, dear ones, that Solomon started out with and cast aside. And he did more damage to the nation of Israel than any king. Matter of fact, it took the Babylonian captivity to finally bring about a change in them. Solomon, who sought God's wisdom, received it. But his heart started to look to the devilish things. started to make friends with his enemies. And he went full circle. He actually was bowing before the pagan altars. A heart that turns away from this heavenly wisdom is going to end up bowing before the pagan altars of this world. What are those things, dear ones? Wherever our hearts take us. Partiality, hypocrisy, unmerciful, unpure, unrighteousness. We're bowing before the pagan gods. My brethren, he said, out of the same mouth are proceeding blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things, he says, ought not so to be. You're going to curse a man that is made after the similitude of God, and then you're going to praise God. And we say, well, I didn't curse him. No, any intent to diminish another brother is a curse. You're cursing him. That's what gossip is. It destroys. It destroys relationships. It destroys things. You know, when you let something out, when the fire is set, it's hard to be put out. And even once the fire is put out, the forests are desolate. They're burned, charred, destroyed. The beauty of it is gone. And it takes what? To come back. It says, can a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? We know Elisha, when he healed the waters of Jericho, well, it wasn't him, it was God who did that. He said, let it be clean. And it was clean. No more was that water going to taste bitter at times. No more. And that is, dear ones, what God does with our hearts. Let it be clean, he says. When Jesus, he looks upon his son on the cross who died and shed his blood for us. And we want him. And for you, our dear friends who are seeking him, you want him, right? You want him. And he hears you. He hears your prayers. He sees you want him. And he will give himself to you. And he's going to say, Because of my son who died, who took the justice that my holiness demands, I will give you mercy which you do not deserve. And let your heart be clean, he says. No more then are bitter waters going or bitter words going to flow from a heart that is born again. No more will that tongue be employed for things that will bring the Lord to tears, if we could say it that way. No more. Let it be clean. Not because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done. Not because I'm able to act so pious in front of you and so you to just look at me and say, wow, that is one holy guy. No. It's about what Jesus did. And now what I must do. But not what I must do, what I want to do. Want to? Yes. I want to live for him. I think brother just mentioned in the prayer about our faith and our love towards him. That would continually increase our faith, our love towards him. And thereby then the tongue is only used for that which is pleasing unto God. Dear ones, we know what a tongue does, how it destroys relationships. We know what lies do. How do you pick up a lie? There's only one way. There's only one way. Through repentance. Did I use my tongue for things that didn't please him? Am I now condemned to hell? Is God going to say, I look at your works and I see, here's what you did. If I die like that, yes. Yes. Was I partial? Was I a hypocrite? Yes, I died like that. Why would God give me all these instructions and say, well, you can go ahead. Yeah, I know still your intent was pure, your intent was good. No, he says, if you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to teach someone, in other words, we are all that. I'm going to use that as all of us are teachers. Because in some way, as we said, in the home, our children are being taught, in the church, in whatever. And so keep in mind that we are teachers and we are teaching our children how they should be. Can we truly say that we, as a family unit, as an extended family unit, as a church unit, as an assembly to come together, that our actions are what we want our children to be like? If it's not, what is our way out? I failed. Repentance. There's nothing more beautiful, dear ones, than a man that repents, that comes and says, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I have done. Please forgive me. Who wouldn't forgive someone like that? An unregenerate man only would not forgive. One who is Christ living in him will easily and readily forgive and restore relationships that have been broken by lies and untruths and every evil work, as we see that comes from the tongue. But if we stay in those things, there's condemnation. How can there not be? Then God is not holy. If he's going to overlook without repentance our deeds and our impurity, then he is not God. Then Jesus died in vain. Jesus didn't die for all man to be saved, no matter how he lives. He died for those who love him, who believe in him, faith and love, who believe in him and love him. And he says, I will give you a new heart. I know I mentioned it on Wednesday, dear ones, but when we cry for mercy, he says, my mercies are new every day. Every day, they're new. And brothers and sisters, that should give us a great comfort and a great fear. His mercies are new to those who cry for mercy. The one who cries for mercy is a repentant heart that believes in him, that loves him, that wants him to purify him. And his mercies are new. That's comforting. And he says, and he makes the other comparison of a fig tree. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? What man but a fool would go to a fig tree looking for olives? Can a vine bring forth figs? He says, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And so, dear ones, when we praise God, but we employ our tongue, that in things that defile the entire body, he says, it defiles everything. There's nothing clean about us if our tongue is employed in an unrighteous manner. There's nothing pure about us. We are defiled in our entirety from a little tongue. Separated from our body is nothing, right? We know that with every part of our body. So what employs the tongue? The heart. And again, everything circles back to love. A man who loves the Lord, who loves his ways, will seek to allow the Spirit of God to rule his heart, to rule his thoughts, so that the words and the actions of my life would be such that I want my children to listen. I want my children to see an example of all of you brothers and sisters. When we bring our children to church, don't we want all of our children to look upon us as an example? What is most disheartening to a young man? When he sees a hypocrite. Because then he justifies his behavior and turning away from God. They're hypocrites there. Are we going to be giving an answer for that? How are you going to pick that up now? You've lived a life that is hypocritical, and now others have walked away from church because of hypocrisy. How are you going to pick that up now? You see how dangerous that is to our soul? The tongue. To our soul. It sets on fire. It says the course of nature. It sets it on fire. The tongue is the very fire of hell itself. And so, dear ones, the apostle here is saying, a fountain cannot bring forth sweet water and bitter. Cannot. So what is our heart? What is the fountain? Jesus speaks of a fountain that brings forth pure waters. Is our heart that which brings forth that which builds up pure, easy to be entreated, peaceable, gentle? Comes from above. You're not going to find it here below. So, dear ones, it is my prayer that each of us today, looking at what I mentioned in the beginning, is this word is, this chapter is like really standalone. What I really meant with that is that we can read this chapter and we don't even need to reference other chapters to find the full entire meaning of what James is saying through the leading of the Spirit of God. We've read, and we have to understand it. It's there to be understood. The question is where are our hearts? Ultimately, are our hearts worshiping, serving the God that created us? Or are we falling back, as Solomon did, to go and to worship the pagan gods of this world? And so as we reflect upon our hearts, dear brothers and dear sisters, and you also, my dear friends, as you reflect upon your own heart, where you are and where you will be if the Lord Jesus tarries no longer and comes or calls us from this life, as we've seen, very unexpectedly. And that's what death is. Typically, it comes unexpectedly. And so where will we be? Is our heart ready? Is our life that which we will be ushered into the courts of glory because we loved and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? And he empowers us and gives us a life that cannot be manufactured of man's will. It's a life that we described in the closing verses, that was described in the closing verses of this chapter. And so may God bless us, one and all, dear ones, as we look into our own hearts, because that is really the intent of coming together to see what the Word of God says, and then to look into our hearts to see what our heart really is. You don't know what mine is, and I don't know what yours is. The Lord Jesus does. And that's ultimately who we need to look to change and direct and create within us a new man. Amen.
Beloved, when the word of the Lord comes to us in plainness and in its power, we see the Lord in his truth and in his mercy, and we see our hearts and where we stand before him. And we receive a burden upon our hearts and a direction of what we must do, in response. When the Lord called Moses from a burning bush and gave him instruction to go back to Pharaoh and to tell him to let his people go, Moses had many questions, was unsure, and brought them before the Lord. He said, "O Lord, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." We may have our questions and wonder, how can I express what the Lord has placed upon my heart and to carry it out? But the Lord gave him this reassurance that he also gives us today. The Lord said to him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." God, give us the grace not to seek to control ourselves, but to yield our control to the Lord and seek that wisdom that comes from above, where we will find the help that we need. May God bless his word. Amen.